As we think about things to pray about this morning, also want to, it was in the notes up here, but we really didn't mention in the service, but our sweet Katie Hillis lost her dad last week, and we want to remember her and the Hillis family. And there are others who, when there are losses, we remember, and it comes back fresh. And so we want to think of each other. On a good note, it's good to see the Harbins here from Chattanooga this morning. They brought the most precious cargo of all, the grandson. And so we're glad to see Blaine. And that's pretty sweet stuff. The cycle of life and the reminder that we're here for a little time. And there is struggle and there is pain, but we have each other and we have our God. This morning, as we begin our thoughts, I can't help but say this. This was too good, Basil, to pass. Basil shared this with me this morning. He said, you know, Jerry said something last week about preaching too long. And he said, I heard about the preacher one time that preached so long, a guy got up and left. And so the preacher saw him next week and said, why did you walk out on my sermon? He said, well, I need to go get a haircut. And he said, well, why didn't you get a haircut before church? He said, well, I didn't need one before church. So that do happen sometimes, but I love that. Thank you, Basil. The text for this taking time in our assembly time to pray together really, I guess, has its formation in much of Scripture. We're continually reminded to pray, but in James 5, we read, beginning verse 13, is anyone of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and is effective. As Dan and I were in Brazil last week, and we were, November the 1st through the 7th, we were there, whenever that was, we were there, and my thoughts came to this body here, and you get to thinking about home when you're away from home, and my heart went out a little bit to Justin and Amanda about being away from home, being in a place that doesn't speak your native language, and thinking of that. And one of the blessed things we got to do is we went around with Daniel and with Justin, and we visited families, people that they were staying with, people in the congregation. And we were welcomed with such graciousness. They were so thrilled to have shepherds come, and they wanted us all to pray with them and to get to pray with them and pray with them in two languages. And to feel the experience, that love. And it reminded me that really that the best thing we ever get to do as shepherds is to pray with folks in the body. It's the very best thing. It's the one time we know we're really doing something because it's all about God. It's not about us. It's about being submissive to what he's asked us to do. And the reason is that prayer's really about submitting to God. It's about turning things over him. There's a lot of scriptures that encourage us to pray without ceasing and remain in prayer. And, the apostles were so struck by Jesus' example in prayer, his rising early to pray, early in the morning, to be with his Lord, as his habit was, and to, even before daylight, that they asked him to teach them how to pray. And Jesus' prayer was pretty simple. It wasn't some great formula. It was just ask for your basic needs. And in the end, say, Lord, your will be done in my life. At the end of the section in Luke 11, where Jesus answers them about how to pray, he basically says to them that you fathers know how to give good gifts to your children. And even a disinterested friend will answer your cry for help if you're persistent, but God is perfect in his gifts. He says, if you that are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I think that's kind of the key. Jesus says the Father will give you himself and the Holy Spirit in prayer. Prayer is worship because it's not getting what we want. It's giving ourselves to him. It really is. It's trusting him, saying, Lord, you can be trusted to care for me. Your will can be my will. I was told a story one time of Mother Teresa, and a gentleman made a journey to go and visit with her. When they got through, she said, well, my son, is there anything I can do for you? And he said, well, I would love it if you would pray for me. She said, oh, I would love to pray for you. What shall I pray for? And he said, well, Mother Teresa, I wish you would pray for clarity for me. I need clarity so I would know the way to go in my life. And she said, oh, son, I never pray for clarity. If I had clarity, I wouldn't need him. I always pray that wherever I go, he will go with me. And I'll pray that for you. And that's really our prayer. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. And if we put that with other scriptures about that war that we have between the flesh and the spirit, the truth is the war is between me running things and me humbly submitting to God to be in control of my life. Whatever may come, he says, I will give you my Holy Spirit and he'll be enough. That's my prayer this morning, is that we will be about submitting our lives to him. And I'm going to ask the shepherds if they would kind of spread out to the corners. We're going to ask their wives if they can and will to go with them. And Tommy will begin our worship time.